of the King, and you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, you put off the old man and put on the new man, which is in Yahweh, created in righteousness. Now, remember that. If you go on and do the things that you used to do, and love the things that you used to love, or maybe you forgot what manner of man you are, maybe that you're an older disciple in Yahweh, and you have forgotten that you put on the new man, and you want to go back to that old man that you used to have. He's still hanging around. He's not dead. And the Bible says, buried with him at that old man to put on the new man. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are not members one of another. Oh, we're not? Yes, we are. We are members of one another. Verse 26 now. Be angry and sin not. Now, that's hard to do. I'm going to discuss that just in a minute. Most of us get angry and blow our cool, and, you know, instead of harming someone else, we overheat our own spiritual engine and it conks out. We have an overheating problem. We have to clean the radiator. That means the cooling factors, we get hot under the collar. Maybe the old flesh man raising up. You know, when the Messiah was teaching the disciples, it says here in verse 26, be angry and sin not, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Put away wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. In life now, we constantly, I've been on this way a long time, over 55 years, preaching and teaching the things that would possibly make you or give you a ticket of the straight gateway. But in life, we're constantly having to manage our feelings and deal with our anger. Now, have you ever had any of those problems? Have you ever had anger management necessities in your life? If you have, let me tell you something. If you have, Yahweh needs to give you this verse of Scripture that we've got here, that you be angry and sin not. Now, let me show you an example. A woman that I know one time told me, after I baptized her, she said, you know, Pastor Buddy, I'm so glad that I got religion. I said, you are? She said, yeah. She said, before I got saved or before I was baptized, I was so mad at my father that I swore that I would never even go to his funeral if he died. But now I'd be glad to go to his funeral. Well, you know, I didn't know how to take that. I don't really know if she knew how it came out. Sometimes Christians will change the present anger or the old anger into a new way of getting even. Well, she said, I don't think I would have ever gone to his funeral had it not been that I got baptized. But now, she said, I'd be glad to go to his funeral. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's a kind of a Christian you are, then you know one thing. You're going to have to sit down and rethink the old man. Really, he's become a justified, angry, or full of wrath, or full of malice, or full of envy, or full of hate, full of spite, full of guilt, and he will not change, except he does it. He says he's better, but you can detect in his actions, or his words, Bible said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. He said, yeah, I'd be glad to go to his funeral. Let me show you something here. Anger is not a sin. If anger is a sin, then Yahweh is one of the greatest sinners in the Old Testament. Anger by Yahweh, anger with Yahweh, and anger for Yahweh, directed in respect to his anger, is mentioned 455 times, and in 375 times, it is mentioned as God's anger. God and Yahweh are the same one. So, if you would kindly add that up, that's nearing 1,000 times that the word that your Creator is angry. Now, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Does Yahweh sin when he gets angry, when he goes out and kills people? I don't think so, because his anger is righteous anger. Let me show you something. Here's the right kind of anger that you should have. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when the Messiah saw it, he was sorely displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He was much displeased. That is a strong word in relationship to his anger. It has the meaning of like, well, how dare they try to keep little children out of my kingdom? For unless you become as little children, now you can whip them and correct them, and in 5 minutes they're back in your arms of loving you. When you offend a Christian, he'll hold it against you even till you die, and will tell you he can't wait to go to your funeral. Now, that ain't much of a Christian. That is not, you know, you're not getting a job done. Anger is strong and usually temporary feelings of irritation or displeasure. Now, we're told to put off the old man and put on a new man. If you can't manage anger, you know, somebody's going to make you mad. I've been so mad at people, I could have twisted their neck out. But I've become a new man. And you just have to, you know, let your heat gauge raise and give it time before you respond. Wait about your response. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath, slow to criticism. Don't let that old man come back. He wants to come back. He desires to come back. And you know, sometimes the change is so unpleasant to put on the new man and abide by a new way, and taking the abuse that you have to take, the criticism that you have to take, going the extra mile, doing something that somebody else should have been doing. And so we get full of judgment and anger and resentment and pride and malice and lust and things. But the Bible said, put away all those things. Speak the truth. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger. That's how important this message is tonight. What kind of an old man have you got that wants to come back and rule the roost? Bible says, put off the old man, because if you give place to the devil, he's that old man. He'll want to come back and do the things he used to do. Boy, if I was like I used to do, it'd be, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't have said that to me, or you wouldn't have done that to me, or you know, there's a time I wouldn't go to your to your funeral, but now I'd be glad to. So are you that way in a sense that you'll be glad when he dies, but as a Christian you can't come out and say that? That's what you got to look at. So faith waits for action. Faith is action supported by belief, supported by the confidence that you've put off the old man and put on the new man. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't give place to the devil. That's the old man. He's that man that you used to love. But now, he's that man that you're supposed to hate. The things you once loved, you now hate. You ain't that way no more. And if you want to go back and let that old man rule, you've not died. Sometimes, you want to know that faith in action teaches you how to live, how to cope, how to get along with others. Some people can't get along with others. They have some kind of a problem. You know, people rub them wrong. If somebody rubs you wrong, go to him and him alone. Tell him what he's doing. Get on him. Write him hard. Tell him the truth. Say, hey, man, I need to go to your funeral. And he'll say, well, what do you mean? Well, you need to kill that old man that you've got here. He's coming back. And the devil come to kill and steal and destroy. And that's that old man. When we talk about the devil, we're talking about that old man. You are the devil. If you want to see the devil, paint that old man that keeps wanting to come back. And you know what the Bible says? He'll want to come back and bring two or three more spirits of acquaintances that he's got on his side to attack you. He'll bring friends with him as he's gone out and gained other spirits just like himself. And there's always an angry spirit in a crowd. There's always someone full of hatred at that old man. And they'll let him hitchhike and catch a ride with the new man. Now, the question is, which man in your life is ruling? Is it the old man or the new man? Keep your temper under control so that its energy can be used in a constructive way. If you're going to go out of your way to use anger, use it in a constructive way. Most people add to the fire, and, you know, sometimes the elders and the pastors or the preacher or the chief ones spend all of their time trying to put out these little anger management problems within the assembly. Learn how to live without that old man. Things that you once loved, you now hate. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Stop. Don't let that old man react when he hears something that he don't need to hear, or don't like to hear, or don't want to hear. Sometimes truth hurts. So be swift to hear. Now, listen to what that said. Be swift to hear. Most people can't wait to speak because they think they hear by speaking. But when you're speaking, you can't hear what you say. Somebody else can hear you. When you're not speaking, you can hear what you think. Because thoughts form in the mind silent. Be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Don't blow up. Listen. Don't sound off. As the old saying goes, engage your brain before pulling your mouth into gear. Engage your brain. Think before you engage your mouth. The mouth is the most unruliest member in your body. Within the gate of the mouth lies the tongue. And if it's not been tamed by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be slow to anger, you're going to be swift to anger. You're going to be slow to hear, not swift to hear. You're going to reverse. That old man is that man that you've got to hate. Yeah, maybe somebody said something that you don't like. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Listen. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth the words in until afterwards. Now, let me give that to you again. A fool uttereth his mind. You know a fool by the multitude of his words. Some foolish person that still got that old man that hadn't died and ain't gone down the river keeps wanting to come back and bring with him these friends. Now, let all bitterness be put away from you and be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, people are so thin-skinned, they get hurt so easy. You can't blame them for being hurt because they're tender. Young converts, tender. They don't need to be hurt with bitter words. You say, I always tell him, sometimes the truth cuts like a knife. Even if it is true, be diplomatic about it and look in the mirror. Say, now, which man is on the throne today? Which man's going to rule? The old man or the new man? Am I sweet or am I sour? Am I able to listen or do I want to sound off today? I just feel like telling somebody off today. And the first one that comes along, be a friend or foe, man, you can't wait to start being known by the multitude of your words. Words hurt, words cut, words offend, words are hard. They open and wound it. It's hard to heal them. Be sweet, be tender-hearted. In verse 32, it says, be sweet or tender-hearted. You know, a lot of people take that as weakness. That's the greatest strength of the inward man, that has the ability to be patient and not to anger so fast, to be slow to spin and be swift to hear. Get rid of your bitterness. Stop holding on to your bitterness. That's the old man. Control your anger. If you've got an anger management problem, go to the Bible. Read the book of Proverbs. Man, I used to love to read the book of Proverbs when I was learning. I ain't saying I learned a whole lot. But if you would apply the wisdom of Proverbs, I believe you would. Bitterness brings hate and anger, and then malice. And malice is the desire to see someone suffer. Like the woman said, well, I used to said I wouldn't go to his funeral, now I can't wait to go. Put away that bitterness. Be tender-hearted. If you're hard-hearted toward your brother, you'd be hard-hearted toward your father. What if he had the same attitude? What if he didn't put away the old man? I mean, you're almost 1,000 times he got ticked off. His anger is for a moment, but his righteousness and mercy abides forever. That means he put off the old man. He used to be pissed off about a lot of things. And now, he's more willing to teach you how to keep calm and keep cool. Are you touchy? Are you critical? Are you unforgiving? Do you find it hard to forgive? Do you hold grudges? Be tender-hearted. Be sensitive to others' needs instead of just selfishly focusing on your own. And be at peace with others. remembrance has just come into this. If you're around an old warty member, and he's angry and he's full of hate and he's puffed up, you know, sin will get, it'll do that. It'll get in camp. It'll eat at your heart. The old things that you used to love will come right back and say, man, I tell you what, you ought to cuss that one out. I tell you what, you ought to get on that one's case. I tell you what, you ought to shoot it straight. Kick 'em. Now, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Clean out the filing cabinet of your mind. Think about it. Some people hold grudges. Maybe their mate might have done something in the past and they can't forgive them. When someone ill-treats you, when you are realizing that they're unreasonable, are you going to get like them? When they threaten you or curse you or stab you in the back and do you wrong? You may have every right to be miffed or hateful, but is that right? Should you? That's the old man. Yeah, he says, you darn tootin'. I'm going to give him tit for tat. If he takes an eye, I'm going to take three teeth. You know, that sort of thing. Retaliation. We oughtn't to be like that. We ought to be kind, loving, tender-hearted, sensitive, instead of selfishly focusing on our own needs or wants or desires. We should be at peace. Clean out your heart. If you got something bitter in there, a root of bitterness, beware. If like a root of bitterness, I had an old preacher that one time that was, he was smart aleck. I didn't like him at all. Matter of fact, I loved to whoop him. Beat him on his head, put knots on his head. And I was really considering doing that at some point. I mean, he's gonna push me to the edge, and that's just when I was young. And I'm saying I've mellowed, because I think I've got older and crankier as time goes on, but I've got wiser. I've learned how to, when that old man wants to come back, I can't let him hitch a ride on my spiritual train. I can't let him run the engineer cab. I can't let him, if you'll park the old man in the caboose and never let him come back to the front of your mind, put off the old man. That's what I said, put him off. Stop the train and say, get the hell out of my life. Thoughts of bitterness and corruption. I'm going to stay sweet. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to teach my mouth not to sin. I'm not going to pop off. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love you in spite. Sometimes the greatest blessing is forgiveness brings release. Can you forgive your mate? Can you forgive someone that is, mean to you? Choose it. For if you give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6:14. And read the 6th and the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew for a relationship to our journey here. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So, see, as you would that men do unto you, by the same token, they're going to measure it, and the Father's going to measure it right back to you. If you have been, long-suffering and kind and gentle and patient and forgiving and caring and sharing, watching your being swift to hear and slow to speak, when you come before the your Creator Yahweh, and you need those things, forgiveness is surrendering my right of the old man to hurt you back like you hurt me. Now remember that. Forgiveness is to forgive or surrender your right. That old man has a right to do that because they done it unto you. But you're not supposed to do that. That's the old man. He's got a right. He'll tell you he's justified. And if you want to listen to him, he'll have you so puffed up and mad that he'll have you going to help you beat the hell out of somebody else. And you didn't even have a dog in a fight till he got you stirred up about it. That's the old man. Forgiveness is surrendering your right to hurt someone back that has hurt you. That's how you heal. That's how, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to a person quicker. Now, if you're slow to take offense and you don't harbor your hurt feelings, you pray for anyone that despitefully uses you, like Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Unforgiveness can damage a relationship. It's seated right underneath the surface. Oh, you may be thinking all right at breakfast table, but as you sip that coffee and think about it, you're just waiting for a chance to blow up and to get angry and to start a fight. Don't harbor those hurt feelings. I mean, get it out of the way. Get it up front. Not with the old man now, but with the new man, the tender-hearted man. There sometimes, you know, when somebody does you wrong, the greater disciple is he that is the servant who can bear those things and forgive when he should be angry. Forgiveness is surrendering your right to hurt back if you've been hurt. That's what forgiveness is. Now, can you handle that? I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. I forgive you. I forgive you even though you've gone astray. Neither do I offend you, no matter what you say. Hallelujah. No, your pride can hinder your forgiving. Pride puffed up goes before a fall. Don't let the sun, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Forgiveness can remove bitterness. I'm telling you, it's just like a thorough washing of something dirty. And, you know, it can bring peace to the soul. You can lay down and sleep tonight without being angry and upset and hurt, although you've been done wrong and the old man wants you to get out of bed and get you a gun and go settle this deal. Bless God. A wise man will never surrender the right of the inward man to retaliate like the old man against someone that has done you wrong. Forgiveness, it means so much. I don't mind preaching this message tonight. Forgive one another. Let bitterness give way to peace, and it can restore a relationship. Gain friends. If you make more enemies in a day with the old man than the inward man or the new man can make in a year, then I know when I got saved, when I got forgiveness. And me just starting out, this is in 1963, when I hunted up everybody that I knew that I had something against. Well, they probably didn't even know what I was talking about. But if you had a damaged relationship, if you had spoken an unkind word to somebody, or you cussed them out in a fit of anger, I wanted to find that person and make it right. Everybody that I had baptized over the years in a ministry that I thought was righteous, well, the old outward man wanted me to really take vengeance. I had something rose up in me and said, you need to blame it on somebody. And instead of that, I channeled that anger and that resentment into something wonderful and praying and seeking Yahweh and fasting until I got so weak that my heart didn't want to fight. I'm telling you, you can sit around. I've noticed this. I've sat around and listened to people. They'll spend days or hours criticizing and talking about so-and-so or whatever, and when their mind could be focused on things above. Set your affection and love on things above. When you run out of people to be angry at, that old man, when he dies, he ain't going to be angry no more. You're going to crucify him. Forgiveness revives the spirit. Joseph was sold into slavery, but by faith, he forgave his wicked brothers. They were wicked. They wanted to kill him. Look at the love that Joseph had. Boy, I'm telling you, I have longed to have something that Joseph had in his body. He had a new man. They had the old man. They plot and plan. Listen, just like a woman that was halted and raped that I know of. When I asked her if she was still bitter against the one that raped her, she said no. Frankly, I've forgiven him. I'm not going to give him another minute of my time. I'm going on with my life through forgiveness. That way, she had removed, and I really believe she had, she removed the bitterness, the hurt, that is often a result of being mistreated and the man wanting to come back and take, or the woman wanting to come back and take revenge. I'm telling you, I find it hard in my old man. He wants to come back. I've been trying to kill him for the last 55 years. And I find that rascal, every once in a while he'll knock on my door and see if anybody's home. And if you ain't got the inner man minding the fence, he'll slip in. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift. You're no greater or no lesser than anyone else in Yahweh's eyes, because faith and forgiveness through justification of his righteousness, not your own. But if you live up to what he put in your life, that inward man, remember, you've been forgiven by your Father. Extend the forgiveness to others that you yourself might be forgiven in the name of Yahweh. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. And the Bible says, the righteous run into it. Now, that old man is not righteous. He ain't running in there. I mean, he's going to tell you, you need to get pissed off and go after. But the Bible said, be cool. Keep it cool. When you're offended or when you're angry, sin not. Don't give place to the devil. My message tonight is, don't let the devil ruin your day. He will if he can. He'll have you mad. I'm telling you, I've been so mad at my blood pressure would go out of sight. And I would think after that I calmed down and cooled off, well, what in the world's going on here? I mean, now that you're cooled off, did you really need to explode? Did you really need to heat up your old man and get him involved? Why don't you take the wrong that's been given and love Yahweh. Love your brother as yourself. Now, that's hard to do. That old inward man, he's got to be a very strong inward man to keep the old man from coming back. Don't give place to the devil. That the devil is you. That old man that you used to be. When you got acquainted with the one that raised you up and one taught you how to fight and argue and itch and complain and murmur and backbite, That's the devil. You. Get away from him as soon as you can. Put him down. You know, it's like a veterinarian coming to put your favorite dog down. I heard one of the brothers over here, one of the elders, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but when they were teaching, they talked about the dog, the two dogs that were in you, one good and one bad. And the old philosopher said, we all have two dogs. And that's true. We have an inward man. That's a new man. That's the one created after Christ. That's the one that loves. That's the one that forgives. That's the one that separates himself from everything that walks disorderly. But the other man is the outward man. You need to get revenge. Don't let them treat you like that. You're better than they are anyway. You know they ain't what they say they are, glory to God. And that old man, he'll talk to you, and first thing you know, you're listening to him. And you're going to go right out and make a fool out of yourself. I've done it so many times, embarrassed, hurt. How do you make that up? Come on, let's all get together. Love one another right now. Ain't that what the song says? Ain't that what the Bible teaches? By this you will let the world know that you're my disciple. You're a special people. You're a purpose people. You are a peculiar people. Instead of bickering and fighting and arguing and going on about all these unnecessary, we could get about our Father's business. We could move up to the next dimension. There's so many above our head, it's unimaginable what's laid up for us. But the devil, that old outward man, keeps us from going there because he knows that if we go there, he's got to die. And he don't want to die. He's holding on for dear life. You've almost got him choked down. You almost had him killed, but one of your brothers or one of your neighbors said the wrong thing, and boy, that old man that you once was, he fired right back up and come in and say, see there, I know you's going to need me. Don't you let them treat you like this. You just go after them, bless God. You just hold up your finger and put it in their face and shake your fist and go get your gun or whatever you need to beat the hell out of them with. We aren't to be that way. We're to let that inward man rule. Because by that, giving place to that dog that we feed, that's the one that's going to win the battle. That battle is going on in you right now. We're all guilty of a wrong dog ruling the roost. If he's a mountain cur, if he's a bulldog or a pit bulldog, that's some of the meanest junkyard dogs you can mention. If he's a golden retriever, you know, whatever you throw out, he's going to bring back. You know, some of the best things in life are some of the worst examples of what you need to pattern after. Yahweh was a hard man. He angered and sinned not. And he suggested you do the same thing because he knows your nature. The devil knows your nature. He knows that your outward man, that old man that died, that the old man went down the river, that he stands in the doorway seeking to come right back in and replace the inward man. Move him off the throne. So if you feed that man with your emotions, if you feed that dog, that's the dog you're going to hunt with. That's the dog that's going to do the barking. That's the dog that's going to do the yapping. And that's the dog that will win or lose. If you choose the dog of the outward, the old man, you're going to lose. If you choose the dog of the inward, the little puppy that is so obedient, think about yourself as a little puppy. I was talking to one of my sisters down here at the feast, and she was telling me we had a little pup here that wandered into the assembly by chance, and it was wormy and run down and stressed and no vitamin, little chihuahua, I believe it was. And you know what? Her and her loving husband, and she missed her little dogs because she had to put them in a kennel to come to the feast. And they spent over $700 on this little chihuahua. I said, my heavens above. Now the little chihuahua is healthy, rules the roost at home, is adorable. The price, of course, it was an example of love. Of course, she would do that readily for her brothers or sisters. She's full of love. So if you set an example around your animal, if you're cruel to them and you want to beat them and you want to go out of your way to hurt an animal, you've got a sadistic spirit involved in it. If you're devoted to that animal, you're passionate about that animal, then you're willing to spend money on it. You can bet your bottom dollar that your heart has been filled with grace and love and kindness and forgiveness. And if you can treat your animal that way, can you find it in yourself to treat your brother that way? Did you know that old Jonah, that he cared more for the gourd that grew up to cover him and make a shade place in the heat of the sun to protect him, the gourd that grew up overnight and shaded him? He thought more of that gourd than he did the people in Nineveh. Had more compassion. See, that Jonah went on a journey, preached like trees are falling, and then, after he got through, it didn't happen like he thought it ought to happen. Sometimes if you don't get the result that you expected from someone, and then you have more compassion on a dog than you do a person, or you have compassion like Jonah on a little green gourd that shaded his head from the sun, than hundreds of people that Yahweh decided to save because they repented and let the other man rule. Turn back from your wicked ways. Step in. You know, we could have festivals, and you know, we just had one down here and had a glorious time and had a beautiful festival. It turned out good with all the weather problems that we had, the rain. It was nothing but rain that brought something. Maybe it was a washing. Because the longer the festival went on, the better it got. I had the brothers and the elders tell me, this is the best festival we've ever attended, Pastor Buddy. It's because we learn to live with one another in spite of the old man. So many of the old men were crucified and put off and buried. And some of the older ones are keeping them dead. You know, we are good at resurrecting the old man. We can bring him back in a snap of a finger. Just like that. The old man can come right back into your life and ruin your day if you let him. He's right there wanting to come back. But greater or more powerful in you is the inward man if he's ruling. Now, to get him to rule, I know how it is. The flesh man, if he's not starved and denied fuel, in other words, it's like the old proverb, it's a dog that you feed that rules. Are you going to feed the inward man, the good man, who seems like he's the gentleman, he's the humble man, he's the forgiving man, he has no wrath, he has no pride, he has no envy, he prefers others. But the old man, he's exactly opposite. Boy, I wish I was like I once was. I've heard many Christians say that. Just like a woman said, well, I at one time before I got saved, I wouldn't have went to Dad's funeral, but now I'd be glad to go. You don't really know how to take that. Because sometimes Christians justify the same anger, the same malice, the same unforgiveness ways in their life by simply justifying it now because they say that they're a Christian. That's what's wrong with Christians. They say they are, but they don't live up to the example of Christ. Take Christ for an example. He was tender. He was loving. He was kind. He was forgiving. He was a long-suffering. Long-suffering? Uh-huh. He wasn't puffed up. Now, the times that I've told you about him getting angry down in the temple, or the times that I can go back into the scriptures, the same one yesterday, today, for over 1,000 times, the word anger is written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, almost 1,000 times. And each time, now I taught one in our classes down here, the example of how to listen. They're not tell you what one of the elders used as an example as an afterthought, and it was right on the money. It was perfect. And sometimes you don't pay attention to what's said. You can get the wrong idea about what was said to start with. It's just like an accident happens. You have five people seeing the accident from their viewpoint, and you'll get five different opinions on how it happened. That's why that insurance companies and adjusters and things of this nature sometimes have to resolve the issue through legal means to have a jury or peers argue or hear the case and get the facts. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you need the facts of patience, of courage, of joy, of faithfulness, of endurance, like I was talking about last night. In you ran instead of out you ran. Most of the people that ran out of our festival and didn't attend the festival are not indoors. They didn't in you ran. It was out they ran. Can't endure. Blessed is he that endures. Blessed is he that loves. Blessed is he that feeds the right dog in the temple. Even so, Master, the dogs desire the crumbs. See, ladies and gentlemen, those who criticized were feeding the wrong dog in their life. The Master, although she wasn't deserving, although she wasn't the right breed, let's say, or the correct species, at least Yahweh made a point out of her and used her as an example and said to those who resented him giving her something, he said, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be taught from outside the ring by others who have not the covenant, or others who don't share in the joy. Most of our people today are spoiled brat. They want to bitter and envy and backbite and hate and find fault. All these people are those who sow discord among the brethren, are not worthy of the fountain of joy. They can't drink from it. You can't drink from the cup of sweet water and then run over and get you a cup of bitter water, because the bitter water comes from the old man and the sweet water comes from the inward. You can't serve two masters. You got to choose this day who you'll serve. And that's what festivals are all about. That's what communal preparation is. Coming together, living together, knowing each other, forgiving each other, caring for each other. I couldn't wait to serve one of the brothers. I couldn't wait to be a servant, to listen, to be patient. You'll have 1,000 people stop you and ask you a question during the day if you're not careful, if you're accountant. Do you have the patience and the kindness? Or you want to pop up, well, get out of my way, I'm too busy, I'm too important, I can't talk to you, I got to think about other things. Be kindly affected. That question might be, to them, one of the most important. And to you, it might not mean a whole lot. But to them, the person and you could be arrogant and up above or lofty and not enough time to devote. There's not enough time in a day, I found in the festival, to do all all the things that you need to do in kindness and joy and preparation to work without mumbling. This time, I'm telling you, it was one of the most peaceful festivals. No murmuring, no bickering, no backbiting, no hating, no despising. We had brothers and sisters that preferred each other, went out of their way to make sure that the other person's life was made easier, giving them places to sleep, giving them blankets and things to sleep on, and we just had people everywhere. Over 70 people attended. We had a great congregation in a small place to supply their needs. I'm telling you, it was the new man that was ruling. It was the inward man that was placing the joy and the peace and the love into others' lives through the things that were necessary and purposeful to know that we passed from death to life. From death meaning the old man to life meaning the inward man. Let that man rule. Let him be the hidden man of your heart. Let him be the man of purpose. Let him be the man of direction that would purpose your life and direct it into words of wisdom and knowledge and patience and love and joy and above all, endurance. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message. Don't give place to the devil. That inward man, let him rule. That outward man, he's the devil. Move him out. Park him somewhere. Don't let him hitchhike. Don't let him catch you. Don't let him sidetrack you. Don't let him have you murmuring. Don't let him have you complaining. Be about your Father's work with joy. Some of the brothers drove all night long to get home. No murmuring, no complaining, but just things in general of understanding that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was glad. No doubt this came from the prophet David. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of Yahweh. I can't wait for the next festival. I tell you, I appreciate everyone that attended. All of the givings and all the preparations and all of the things that were done in regard to blessing each other. What a joy. It just made it so good. And it left a good taste in my mouth when it was all said and done. I think I had the ever elder that's in our membership come and tell me it was one of the best festivals that they'd ever attended. Now that is meaning we're growing. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Grow in purpose. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let that old man come back. Some of you, I've noticed some of our old rats in the mill, as I call us. You know, sometimes we get grumpy and bitter and envy because we've lost our way. We've lost our direction. We've lost our purpose. We're feeding the wrong dog. Let's get back on the track. Let's heal. Let's get positive. Let's quit murmuring. Let's quit complaining. Let's don't do these things that this old man raises up and wants us to do. Let's be that new man. Let's be that gentle, loving, kind, forgiving person that Yahweh has in the inward man. Isn't it wonderful? Well, it's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory, and its purpose is to make you a candidate for the next step up. You see, there's many levels that we can reach. Write me tonight. Get out your pen and paper and write, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, again, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm still live from Hallelujah Acres. Man, what a time we've had here. I've been here 2 weeks and enjoyed every moment of it. It's wonderful. You can call me tonight, live, tonight if you would like. Area code 423-626-2172. That's my home office. You can call me here at Hallelujah Acres at 423-338-1972. Now, if you leave a message on my home phone, or if you leave me a message here, and perhaps I can't get it, there will be a way to leave a message, you do that, and I'll call you back on my nickel. I love you tonight, and I appreciate you. May Yahweh bless you. May He cause that inward man to grow and to get strong, that He can keep that outward man, that He can kill him, keep him dead, keep him buried. Don't resurrect him. Don't bring him back into your life. Remember the man that you hated. That's where you repented and changed, because you didn't love that inward man or that outward man. The things that you once loved, you see, if when you were bitter and envious, you don't love that inward man because he's wanting you to do better. You know that ain't the person you are. When you say hard things, you don't really mean it. Why say it? It hurts you. That's where that if you feed that outward man, that's the dog that's going to do the barking in your life. But if you feed that inward with love and joy and peace and contentment, that's going to be the inward man. That still small voice. That love. I visited one of the brothers here in the community. I went and looked at some property, and I sat on the creek bank, him and a couple hours, and we talked about and reminisced about the house of Israel and its purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's joy. Get in that frame of mind. Win souls. He that is wise will win a soul. If you would like to write us tonight, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Call me tonight, area code 423-338-1972. I'll see you Monday night around the world on WWRB 3.185. Good night. I love you.